Well, as I was said before, it is good to see everyone back here again this afternoon. For the topic I was given, if you'd like to go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 6, the phrase that I'm going to be speaking about this afternoon is not under law, but under grace. And I can tell you, in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible reads, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Go ahead and just get this out of the way for anybody that may have any doubt. This is a very well misquoted and misinterpreted verse. And a lot of people in the world today like to open their Bible up and just read Romans chapter 6, verse 14 and say, "See, right there. We don't really have to do anything because we're saved by grace. And we're under grace, and we don't have to worry about adhering to any type of obligations, or we don't really have to do anything." So I'm going to go ahead and say that that's not the case. And just to make sure that we prepare our minds and get in the right context, we'll go ahead and read Romans chapter 6, 1 through 14. Just to kind of prepare our minds and kind of get a better understanding of what exactly this passage means. Here the Bible reads, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died and has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Another scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, this part of scripture will help us have a better understanding of this particular passage. In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible reads, "Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." The Apostle Paul clarifies the effects of original sin in Romans chapter 2, verse 12, when he said, "All who sin apart from the law will perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law." We need to understand that all men stand condemned before God, whether they're Jews or not. Or to put it another way, whether they have found the law of God or not. Paul also states in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So if we without Christ, we are justly condemned in God's sight by the law that was given to his servant Moses. However, as we take in consideration and look back about the way things were, we might argue that those who were not Jews or Jewish and therefore did not benefit from the knowledge of the Mosaic law, including the moral and ceremonial law, maybe shouldn't be condemned in the same way. If we seriously consider how things were during the time of the law of Moses, we may be inclined, or others may be inclined, that it would be unfair to hold the Gentiles to the same requirements or standard as the Jews. The Jews had access to the Mosaic Law. They had been taught from a very young age. They had been exposed to it since birth. But not so for the Gentiles of that time. They were not able to receive the same teaching or study of this law. But that's what was special about Christ's law, about the law that we are under now. Christ's law was arranged and was designed so that anyone may abide in it and obey. This is dealt with by the apostle in Romans 2, verse 14 through 15, where the Bible reads, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even accuse them." We live in a world today where there are many people that believe different things. But some that we're very familiar with are the ones that call themselves atheists, or they believe. Their belief is that there is no higher power, that we are just energy made in a certain way by pure circumstance or happenstance. And that once we die, that's just the end. And our energy is transferred into something else in the universe. They don't want to admit, but they do believe in a higher power. They would just like to call that science, is what they call their higher power that they believe in. But we were all made in the image of God. We're all made in His image. He is the architect of both things seen and unseen. He is the architect of everything that is in existence. He is a master builder of everything that was, everything that is, and everything that will be. And I believe that since we were made in His image, part of His design was to embed in the human condition, or humanity, that thing that everybody asks. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter who you are in this world. At some point in your mind, you have always asked that one question that everybody asks. What's the meaning of life? And so many people will say different things. They'll say, what is the meaning of life? Some people will have an answer. Some people won't. And many times the answers differ from person to person and from time to time. But it may just be my personal opinion. I certainly don't have anything to back this up. But in a way, I kind of feel that part of our design as human beings and a human nature and humanity itself is to have that question come up. And what that does for us is that causes us to want to seek out what is the meaning of life. And the great thing about God is that the existence of Him and the evidence of Him is all around. And that if we truthfully want to know the truth to that answer, we will be drawn to Him. Whenever the sun rises, whenever the sun sets. As Paul mentioned in one of his recent slides with the moon, you know, people like to think that that was just a big hurtling rock that for some reason got caught up in our orbit. And yet, its orbit and its rotation are perfectly synchronized so that we will never see the other side of the moon. As it rotates and as it goes around the earth, it's perfectly synchronized. Not only that, I'll go one further. He mentioned about the solar eclipse and lunar eclipses. For something to be as large as it is, and for it to be positioned just far enough from the earth so that whenever it goes in front of the sun, which is much larger, it's exactly perfectly the same size to where it covers it up. That's quite a coincidence for there not to be a design or for there not to be a plan. Now, the reason for it to be that way, I have no idea. And we may never know. But to think that it's not because of a certain design, and not to think that it's because there's an architect that put that in place the way he wanted it to, you really have to go out of your way to not think that God is who He is and that He is in control. And so that's where Romans 2, verse 14 through 15 really hit me as I began to look into this. Once again, I'll read it again. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even accuse them. So before we know that the Jews in the Mosaical Law, they had specific things that they had to follow. They had specific instructions. And we know that at the time, the Jews were the chosen people. And they were given this law, and the Gentiles were not. So they were at a terrible disadvantage. They went their whole lives sometimes without ever knowing anything of God or anything of that nature. And he states that the Gentiles have the essence of God's legal requirements already ingrained, and so are just as much without excuse under this new law. The law is the issue that has to be dealt with in order to bring us into a righteous position with God. It requires action. In Galatians 2 verse 16, the Bible reads, "Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law no one will be justified." This passage reveals that the law itself cannot justify or make righteous any man in God's sight, which is why God sent his Son to completely fulfill the requirements of the law for all those who would ever believe in him. Christ Jesus redeemed us from the curse that has been brought through the law by becoming a curse of us, a curse for us. Galatians 3 verse 13, Bible reads, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." He substituted himself in our place and upon the cross took the punishment that is justly ours, so that we are no longer under the curse of the law. In doing so, he fulfilled and upheld the requirements of the law. Now, this does not mean that Christians are to be lawless. There are some people in the world today that would advocate this, that this right here shows that we are not under a specific law, or that we're not under a specific command, that we can do, go, and be whatever we want. There are so many that believe all we must do is quote the sinner's prayer and let God into our hearts, and then we can continue our behavior as usual. Rather, it means that we are free from the Mosaic law, and instead under the law of Christ, which is to love God with all our being and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And we must complete the steps of salvation to be in Christ, the pattern and the plan that has been set before us. Once again, it requires action. Christ became the end of the law by virtue of what he did on earth through his sinless life and his sacrifice on the cross. So the law no longer has any bearing over us, because the demand have been fully met in the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ, who satisfy the righteous demands of the law, restores us into a pleasing relationship with God and keeps us there as long as we continue steadfastly in his word. No longer under the penalty of the law, we now live under the law of grace and the love of God. For if it wasn't for his grace and if it wasn't for that sacrifice that he made, we would all be lost. So in conclusion, just kind of want to briefly wrap this up. Didn't want to go too in-depth, because it's one of those things that as you get into it and get in further, it just kind of spreads into so many different topics, and then you kind of have to decide what do you want to get into, what do you not want to get into. And I didn't want to confuse myself, and I certainly didn't want to get so far out of depth that out of place that I might say something that might not be correct. So, in conclusion, we just kind of want to wrap this up. Let's say you're a young person, maybe a early teenager. You live in in your surroundings, maybe live in a household where our Savior's name, God's name, has never been mentioned. I believe, as us being human beings, with us having a conscience, We have a moral compass that sets us on a certain point. And I believe if we are looking for the truth, or if we are looking for answers, I think there's no way of getting around to God being in control and God being the master of all that we survey. And I believe if we are truly looking for answers, because of the way we've been designed, eventually we will come across our Savior. And as we come across Him, we'll learn more, we'll read more, we'll understand His, our purpose here on this earth. And so there's no excuse. Where the Gentiles might have had an excuse before, because they had no opportunity for the law, there's no excuse at this point. And that's what was great about God's law now, and the law that we are under. Before, there were certain requirements. With the sacrifices, you had to have certain animals available. You had to have certain things that needed to be done. This new law was put together so that nobody is left out. Everybody has the opportunity to follow the plan and the law that we are under. It doesn't matter what your history is. It doesn't matter who your parents or your grandparents or your ancestors were. It doesn't matter what type of ailment you may have. It doesn't matter if you may have a handicap. We are under grace, and Christ sacrificed Himself so that we may have an opportunity for a home with Him if we are found faithful. And so we need to constantly be thankful. As Brian mentioned in one of his lessons talking about this, it was a law of almost a cursing before because of the requirements that were involved. Gentiles didn't have an opportunity, but now we do. If you are subject to the gospel call, we want to offer an invitation to any of those. If you wish to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be, we would ask that you would come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.